Message, we will be reading these verses, the Lord's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. To be honest, it's quite a deep subject, isn't it? It's not something we can able to completely understand, the Lord's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's beyond our understanding. That's the way I can put, even after 40 years, if God wills, if I'm still alive and preaching this word to you, I'll still say it's beyond my understanding. The Lord's agony and the cup of wrath he took for you and for me in our stead in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's truly amazing. And that can be only done by our Lord Jesus Christ. His love to us is beyond our comprehension and understanding. And it's truly wonderful, right? And even now, I have the power of sin to overrule me. Even now, I'm accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is wonderful. That is truly remarkable. And that gives me so much joy, even to think that our Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that each and every one of us, no matter how you living your Christian life, we have to live an accountable Christian life. We have to be very careful in our Christian walk. I'm not saying we should be careless, not to worry about our Christian walk, but we fail sometimes. We do mistakes sometimes, not willingly, sometimes ignorantly, sometimes because of weakness, we do mistakes, but still we are accepted in our Lord Jesus Christ. And still we are all imputed by his righteousness, and we are made righteous by his eternal love. That's truly wonderful, right? That's truly wonderful that we can come together and we can cherish on the thought that I am accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day when we face him, he won't see us as a sinner, but he will see us the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we'll be transformed completely into his image. And that's beyond my understanding. And let's kindly turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I want to keep this verse as my crux for the ministry today. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So the text is very clear here. For one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So my thought went immediately back to Garden of Eden. And here our Lord Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not a coincidence. That is the plan of God. And that's truly wonderful. And God chose, our Lord Jesus Christ chose this place, Garden of Gethsemane. It's not it's not the place, this is the first time he's going to spend time with his Father. He goes there quite often, right? And we read that in the book of, in the Gospel of John, and in chapter 18, we read that Judas came and came to the Garden of Gethsemane because he knew that if the Lord is not there in the upper room, he will be there spending that night in prayer in Garden of Gethsemane. So he brought all his great multitude of soldiers to arrest our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a kiss, he betrayed the Son of Man. That we can read in John chapter 18. Let's read one more verse from John chapter 18. That really touched me to see the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Chapter 18, verse 4, we read, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Jesus knew all things that would come upon him. He knows things, what's going to come to him. That is really wonderful, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ knows what is going to happen to him. In not just at the moment when he was praying in the garden, ever since he was born, he knew that. What's going to happen to him. And he is the Lamb of God, has to be crucified for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. And he knew the every step he took on this earth when he was in incarnated flesh. He knew everything what's going to happen to him. And that's a text clearly telling us he knew everything. He knew everything. And here we read, our Lord Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we also read in Romans chapter 5, it is by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So let's consider this subject in a simple three topics. One is rejection. The next topic will be reconciliation. And the final one, I'd like to close with restoration. So rejection, where that happened? It happened in the Garden of Eden. And in chapter 2 of Genesis we read, it is God's plan to have a garden. He made this garden for Adam and Eve, and he kept them in the Garden of Eden. And if you look into the scriptures, very clear, in the Garden of Eden, he provided them everything. He provided them for the physical needs and for the spiritual needs. He came every day and he had fellowship with Adam and Eve. That's truly wonderful, right? So they had everything in the Garden of Eden. And because of Adam's ignorance, he fell. He disobeyed God. He disobeyed the command of God. And we could see the inefficiency of Adam to obey God. Even today morning's worship, the thoughts are again and again from our different brothers. It's around how Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father. His obedience, that's truly wonderful. That's truly wonderful. As children of God, we have to learn that great quality from our Lord Jesus Christ. To know and to obey our Lord God. To obey the richness of this calling. And to consider that carefully in our life. That is very important in our Christian walk. To consider that very carefully in our life. Many times we take it for granted. And we make it, in the words of Brother Gareth, he used to always bring this point, making it legalistic, right? We make it legalistic. Our Christian life is becoming a traditional legalistic life. That is a real danger. If we walk away from that true love and the relationship, what we have with the Father, that's real danger. And that's something we have to self-examine ourselves every moment in our life, and to be have that heart of obedience and to do the will of the Father in our life. And Father is willing to fulfill that through our life if we obey Him and we want to do His will. And here we have the first Adam failed in the Garden of Eden. Out of all his provisioning, he's completely protected. His glory, he was created in glory. He's created in the image of God. It's so wonderfully made. But yet, we read, yet we read that he failed in the Garden of Eden. He failed there miserably. And he was rejected from the Garden of Eden. And something wonderful happened in the Garden of Eden. Let's not forget that. And God gave him forgiveness for his sin. And he gave him, the way to have forgiveness is by shedding the blood. And there is no remission from sin without shedding of blood. And there is a blood of an animal shed in that Garden of Eden, which now as a church, as believers, we can clearly understand. We can look back and we can clearly see why there was an animal killed in the Garden of Eden. And that shows the Lamb of God, isn't it? And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can truly appreciate what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing in the Garden of Gethsemane for you and for me. And there, the animal was killed, a blood was shed, their sins were forgiven, and they were clothed with the skin of that animal. So there is someone whose sins were freely forgiven, and they were given a cloth of forgiveness. And they were, even though they are rejected, but still there is a way for them to come back to God, and that is through obedience and to obey His command. And here we see our Lord Jesus Christ, who was a Son of God. There is no doubt about that. He is the Son of God. He knew all things. He knew that. Even before the foundation, we read, Jesus knew that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew very well that He is the Lamb of God. And He is the one who can redeem you and me. Not anyone can redeem us. Only the blood of Lord Jesus Christ can redeem you and me. And only by His blood, we will have forgiveness for our sins. And only by His blood, we will have forgiveness from our sins. And here we have our Lord Jesus Christ in agony. The text clearly teaches us He is in the deep agony. And in the account of Luke, the gospel account of Luke, we read, even His sweat falling down on the ground as blood. I never experienced in my life. I don't know how many of you really experienced that kind of agony in our life. We all been through sufferings in our life. I'm not saying that. But the point of which our Lord Jesus Christ suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane is to the point of death. It's to the point of death. And three times we see our Lord Jesus Christ was praying to the Father. And that is really, that's spoken to me. How important it is that you and me should have that fellowship with the Father. And in the last few hours, our Lord Jesus Christ, before he's going to be arrested, he wants to spend those precious moments to receive the strength from the Father. He wants to spend those moments with the Father. And here we can learn a lot of lessons, life lessons. The importance of prayer we can learn. And the importance to have, to receive the strength from the Father, we can learn that. And we can learn how the Lord Jesus Christ surrendering himself to the Father. Wonderful lessons we can learn from this passage. And here, our Lord Jesus Christ, in great agony, was praying to the Father. And there with him, he brought all his 11 disciples. So just for the young people here. So why it's 11 disciples? What happened to the 12th one? Judas? He already left Jesus Christ, right? He already left Jesus Christ. And he went to betray him. So he's in the court of the high priest. Or he's on the way from the house of the high priest, right? So Jesus was with 11 disciples. And out of them, he chose three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he brought them closer to him. Just a Bible says that a stone throw away, Peter, James, and John were asked by our Lord Jesus Christ to pray for him. And he just went a little further from them, and he was spending time with the Father. And that is wonderful. And here we have Peter, James, and John, again, by their weakness in his flesh. I'm not denying, because they are so tired. They must be tired. They celebrated their Passover feast. They had a good meal, I believe. They are tired, and their eyes were heavy, and they're sleeping. And the request from Jesus is to pray for them. Pray for themselves first. Also pray for our Lord Jesus Christ. But they can't. Here in verse we just read, the flesh is indeed weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We just read that. So the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ is, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." I was really thinking, and I can able to comprehend only on two points. This is a subject we have been studying for many years as Christians. And these pages in the scripture, for me especially, it's a very emotional page. And most often, I won't leave this page without tears in my eyes, because it's so emotional to see our Lord Jesus Christ praying for you and for me, doing the work of reconciliation for you and for me in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's truly remarkable, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we read, he's praying to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me." There are wonderful preachers here in our assembly, wonderful teachers. They can bring more deeper thoughts than I'm going to teach today. My thoughts are on two points. Again, our Lord Jesus Christ is being tempted by Satan himself. Yeah? He's tempted by Satan himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. So, we read at the end of his second prayer, angels came and ministered our Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing happened during his wilderness temptation. Angels came and ministered our Lord Jesus Christ after his 40 days and nights of his fasting and prayer to the Father. So that's wonderful, right? Look at the agony of the Son of God he took for you and for me. Even to the point of death. How wonderfully it's written in Hebrews. Even to the point of death. Even to on the death on the cross. He obeyed. He obeyed for you and me. Is this really necessary, dear brothers and sisters? He is Son of God. He is God. He is the very Word of God. Is this really necessary? He could have said to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me." Nothing would have happened to him. He is sinless. He is spotless. He knew no sin. He never sinned. He did no sin. And he is God. But why? Through all these temptations, he obeyed the will of the Father. He obeyed the will of the Father. He has to take the cup for you and for me. He knew very well that by taking the cup, he will be separated from the Father. I think that is the agony of our Lord Jesus Christ. The real agony of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my understanding. More than the suffering, brothers and sisters. Oh, he can take that suffering for you and me. He loves us so much. He loves us so dearly. He can so happily, he can joyfully, he can come and he can participate in that suffering, in the cup of suffering. But it's a separation. I don't think so. I can comprehend. The 3 hours, or the number of hours of separation, when he was on the cross of Calvary, when the sin was laid on him, when the world's sin was laid on him, he became a representation of sin before the Father. And that separated the triune Godhead for those moments. The second person in the Trinity was separated from the rest of the Trinity. That is, I believe that is the real agony of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could be other reasons as well. But that's the agony he took for you and me. He was separated from the Father for you and me. Why? He wants to bring you and me back to have that relationship with the Father. That is truly wonderful. To have that sweet relationship with the Father. Because in the Father's eyes, you and me are sinners. And the Father, who is a consuming fire, is holy. Holy God. In before him, we are all sinners. When we stand before him, we'll be consumed because of our sin. But here we have our wonderful mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is standing in midst of us. That's truly wonderful, right? In Hebrews chapter 5, 7, verse 7, we just read, in the days of his flesh, not just in Garden of Gethsemane, throughout his days of his flesh, he was weeping and he's full of tears, praying for you and for me. That is a deep, deep, deep love of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone here really meditating on the subject of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, here we can see the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Starting from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross, what a love that has been demonstrated for you and me. To put in the words of Romans, God demonstrated us his love while we were yet sinners, right? Towards us while we were yet sinners. I can't forgive my own son if he's doing something wrong. I find it really difficult to forgive my son sometimes. How wonderful our Lord Jesus Christ is. He's forgiven you and me from our sins. And he made us righteous. He made us righteous. So 3 temptations and 3 times he prayed to the Father. And here comes help from heaven. Angels came and ministered him, and our Lord Jesus Christ was praying and he was ready to fulfill the work of the Father for which he was sent to us. And here we have Peter, James and John with him. And though they are weak in their flesh, but here we have this wonderful 3 people closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for bringing them closer as he was going through this agony, to have this moment the Savior was going through. They are the eyewitnesses. And here we have Peter, James and John once again. We already read 2 more occasions. These 3 trio were there, isn't it? One in the Jairus' house, another one in the Mount of Transfiguration. And not only they witnessed the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to raise someone from dead, not only they have resurrected, they have seen the glory of Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, but they have also witnessed the agony of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man has to go through. He is completely man. He is completely human like you and me. And he gone through this path. He took the path of this agony for you and me. That is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't break your heart when you just consider this thought in your mind. Oh dear Lord, you went through that Garden of Gethsemane for you and me. Just that oil was pressed, and you get the fragrant olive oil from that, from the olive fruits. Lord, you have been pressed for you and me, for us all, on the cross of Calvary, to produce a sweet fragrance that came out of his death. Right? Even it was the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ is in a garden. That is another thought to think upon. It's in a garden. So there, the first man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, and what happened as a result? Everyone become sinners. Here we have our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tempted. He was in weakness, in tears, but still he was victored. There is a great victory in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Eden, we see every day God seeking man to have fellowship with him. And here in the Garden of Gethsemane, we have man seeking the Lord to arrest him. And in Garden of Eden, again, we see the man, when he sinned, he hidden himself from God. He don't want to see God. He hid himself because he was naked. He came to the knowledge of being naked. And here we see the Lord step forward. In Romans chapter 18, we just read, he stepped forward and asked them, whom you are seeking? That's a wonderful difference, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me. He stepped for you and me. In the Garden of Eden, we see the ignorance of man. Though he was a perfectly created being, when God created Adam, he saw it is good, he's perfect in all the ways. He's a perfect creation, but still he has no clue what is going on around him. But here we have the one, our last Adam. He knew all things. He knew all things. And yet he was so obedient to the Father. And in the first garden, we see that man was in the hands of God. He was protected. He was provisioned. He was protected by God in the Garden of Eden. In the second garden, we can see that God was in the hands of man. How terrible it was when God was in the hands of man. In Hebrews in chapter 10, if I remember, we read, it is a fearful thing to be in the hands of God. It is a fearful thing. It is terrible to be in the hands of God during the days of judgment. How less terrible it is when God was in the hands of man. How badly he was treated. How badly he was treated. How cruelly he was put to death on the cross for you and me. And in the Garden of Eden, as I said before, there is a forgiveness of their sins. Even now in the Garden of Gethsemane, there is a wonderful, final, penultimate sacrifice for you and me. And there is forgiveness for once and all, for all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, just like he was clothed, Adam and Eve, with the skin of an animal, we are all clothed with a beautiful cloth of righteousness. Right? How wonderful is our Lord. He loves us, right? He loves you and me so much. More than we can imagine, he loves us. He loves us so much. I can picture the parable of the prodigal son. That son came back home with so many questions in his heart. Did my father accept me? Did my father accept me? Oh, I am filthy. Look at me. I'm filthy. I'm not looking good. I've sinned against my father. Look at the father, what he did. He was waiting for him every day, looking for his son. And when he came, he ran and hugged him. That is a wonderful picture of the love, of the great measureless love of the Father towards us. He loves us as we are. He loves us. Even today, brothers and sisters, if we have a guilty conscience, do really, God, forgive me for my actions this week. God loves you. If you come with a repentant heart to his presence and ask forgiveness, he will forgive us. He will forgive us. And that is a wonderful joy for us, wonderful promise for us, that he forgives us. And we have this wonderful picture of two gardens now. So there is a Garden of Eden. They have been rejected. And here we have, in the Garden of Gethsemane, here our Lord Jesus Christ was praying on behalf of us to reconcile you and me back to the fellowship with the Father. And the joy and the fellowship we have today is because of his agony he'd been through in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knew all things. And he knew all things. And in John chapter 18, we read, a great multitude came to arrest him. A great multitude. Is that really necessary? And that's a question Jesus is asking himself, right? Well, I've been preaching there. I've been there in the temple all time. I'm not a stranger to you. Why you came with so many soldiers? And there is a miracle I could see in chapter 18, verse 5. They answered him. Jesus asked them, whom you are seeking? In verse 5 we read, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to him, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So they are strong soldiers. And they are great multitudes. like more than 600 soldiers were there in the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest our Lord Jesus. And they all fell down to the ground and they fell backward. The scripture is teaching us they fell backward and they fell back to the ground. Look at the, we can understand the power of his person through this verse. But why he has to perform this miracle in the Garden of Gethsemane once again? We read in verse 9 that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. I think Lord Jesus Christ performed this miracle to protect his disciples. Even in his weakest point, he's in agony and weakness. Look at the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's thinking about his followers, his 11 followers who were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here we see, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. The prophecy is fulfilled there. And he fulfilled the prophecy. He was telling the soldiers, don't touch them. It's me you're seeking. That's wonderful, right? In the weakness, he remembers his disciples. How about today? He's in glory. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's our Almighty God. How much he can protect you and me. He will lose no one. Anyone who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will never be lost. They are protected. And as we meditated today morning in from Isaiah chapter 26 and various other portions we read today morning, how he's going to take us back home. When he's coming in his glory, he is going to take us all to his kingdom. And we are going to be with him forever. That's the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only we'll stop with the Garden of Gethsemane and the garden where the tomb was there. On the third day, he rose again from death. And he victored over death. And today, because of his death and resurrection, today we are all can happily and joyfully say, oh death, where is your sting? Yeah, we can say that, right? Yeah. Even though we go through the physical death, if our Lord's coming is delayed for because he comes in his own time, even if we have to go through physical death, we will be raised again. We will be raised again. Those who are alive in Christ will be raptured. And we all will meet together as one body in the air. And we will meet our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a blessed hope we can all have in our life. And we can all cherish each and every moment in our life. And that's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great work of our mediator. That's a great work of the captain of our salvation. What a wonderful Lord we have. And here we read, he lost none. So he's not going to lose any one of us. Any one of us is not going to lose. But what happened to this man, Judas? Judas was a man, very complicated person, isn't it? We might think he's a complicated person, right? He was with the Lord Jesus for many years. Yet he never called him as Messiah or Lord. He called him as Rabbi. Yeah, he always called him as Rabbi or teacher. It's a challenge for each and every one of us here. How we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. You might be coming to the assembly quite regularly. Oh, you might be a very fervent Christian. But are you dearly love the Lord Jesus Christ? Whom do you think Lord Jesus Christ in your life, in your personal life? It's not that you come with your parents. It's not that your dad or your mom is a good Christian. Doesn't matter how you are and how you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of our brother, I think it's Brother Ian mentioned, it's not the knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ is important. It is important, but how much you know through that knowledge whom you are worshipping. Do you know that he is your God? Do you believe that with all your heart? That's something very important, something we have to really consider in our life. Am I accepting my Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? That's a challenge for you all. If not, we will end up like Judas. What happened to Judas? He's the only man in the scripture who was possessed by Satan himself. There are other people in the scripture who were influenced by Satan, by the evil spirits, But this man was possessed by Satan himself, and he became an instrument of Satan. And what happened to Judas? He died. He went into eternal damnation because of his disobedience. Something very serious we have to consider in our Christian life. Are we fully convicted that about our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's self-examine. Let's not take this like another sermon, like, oh, I came to assembly another week. Let's not do that, but let's take it personal. Let's study this subject and spend time with the Father. Doesn't matter how old you are. How old you are, doesn't matter. You may be 5 or 6 or 7, doesn't matter. As long as you know how to pray and you know there is a God in heaven who watches over you, yeah, you have to take this very seriously. So, consider your relationship with the God whom you are worshipping. Yeah? So, let's move on to the... We have only a few seconds, some minutes left. So, he restored us. Where he restored us? So, he rejected, reconciled, now we are restored into another beautiful garden. Our Jeff brother, Brother Jeff was encouraging us to study the book of Song of Solomon a few weeks back. So my thoughts went there. And there is a beautiful passage in the Song of Solomon. I think it's chapter 4. I always find it difficult to find this book in my Bible. A few pages. Yeah, chapter 4 of Song of Solomon. God, through the work of his son, brought you and me into another garden. And this garden is enclosed as well. Verse 12, chapter 4. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Fragrant henna with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. With all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes. With all chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. Once again, God bless this reading. Here again, God brought you and me into a garden enclosed. And we can call it as a garden of church or garden of God. This is another garden God planted for you and me and brought you and me into this garden. And how lovely to see the picture of this garden. A garden very well watered. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, a stream from Lebanon. Look at the beauty of this garden. It brings forth so much fruits, brings forth so much beautiful fragrant of henna with spikenard. When we read about spikenard, we can think about Mary who broke in the jar of spikenard when she was offering it to our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is, church. How wonderful, how blessed we are that God has brought you and me into this beautiful garden to bring forth fruits. That's a tremendous blessing for you and me. To bring forth fruits. And we are sweet aroma in the presence of God. We can bring forth beautiful fragrance in the presence of God. Why we are doing all this? Let my beloved come to his garden. This is his garden. It's not one of us. It's God's plan. Very often our brother Charles, in his prayer, it used to stuck me. He says that we are doing this in God's appointed way. This is God's appointed way. And this garden is planted by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and me are dwelling in this garden. And we are supposed to bring forth fruits, lovely fragrance, sweet perfume of praise and worship and thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. And in chapter 5 we read, here we have our Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine and with my milk. And there is a wonderful yawning. I will stop here. Okay, so one day our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. And we are his spouse. That's truly remarkable, right? Oh, wonderful, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy to work for him in different forms. Everyone, God is using us in various different forms. Let us do that ministry joyfully. He's a wonderful Savior, wonderful God. And what a wonderful way we can show that gratitude of thanksgiving to him. As a close, let us read 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. A very well-known verses. Let's read and close here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What manner of love is this? Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Behold, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, that is our present duty for you and me, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let God bless this little thought. I hope it encouraged you all. Stay blessed and have the great hope that we have a wonderful Father. And when you sin, don't have the guilt, and don't go back to that sin again, but repent and ask God to deliver you from that power of sin and give you the strength to overcome the power of strength. One day we will be in his presence where we will be free from the presence of sin one day. But as of now, as we are in this garden enclosed, we will be having our weakness in our flesh. There will be power of sin, but he will deliver us. He will give us strength to overcome that. Let God bless us. I think we'll...